welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where I, your host, Adam Santiago, sits down with someone and asks them, hey, what's your favorite album? This week I'm joined by my buddy Patrick Fisher, and he's going to tell us about an album that I've never heard of by a band I've never heard of. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how's it going, man?
So what's your favorite album?
My favorite album is by a band called Alley with an Eye, and the album was called I Learned It by Watching You. And so it was interesting because I've been listening to the podcast and
thank you.
absolutely. I think it's a great idea, but it's also just like a diabolical question. So I was actually one of the things that I wanted to do, because I don't really remember somebody saying this, but I'm going to call you out and say, how would you define a favorite album?
Oof, it's tough. It's an album.
Shit. Gotcha.
Okay, so it's an album that you can connect to on a few different levels. I have numerous favorite albums. I've actually thought about what I'm going to go with when it's my turn to fess up. And the criteria I'm choosing for that one is kind of, without giving too much away, it's just like so many connections to it, even beyond like an emotional level, like practical levels, all this stuff that goes into it. So, I mean, it's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Basically, I get to enjoy watching people squirm, so I don't have to deal with it.
Right. Yeah. So, because that was the thing that I thought about, because, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, I think everyone has a lot of favorite albums, but to narrow it down to one, for me, a lot of it is kind of, almost more like not contextual, but it's just personal.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily that, like, it's a good album. I love it. I love listening to it. You know, I can go back to it, but it's not something that I listen to all the time. Like one of the other albums I thought of was Tell All Your Friends, Take It Back Sunday.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Which that album I've come back to. You know, every once in a while, I'll go back and listen to it, and it's just solid through and through. And, you know, I went through Brand New's Déjà Entendu, but, you know, that one is, I love that record, but it's very much also a part of, like, the time in my life when that came out and when I was listening to it, where it just, like, impacted me, so...
I recently fell into that one recently.
Yeah,
and
recently?
It's just like, I was like, man, it's been a while since I've listened to it.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, yeah, it was really good. Alley with an Eye. So basically, the way that I came to Alley with an Eye was, these guys are, you know, deep in my history, from North Carolina, and they're a North Carolina band. I actually grew up with the drummer and the lead singer / guitarist in like middle school and high school. And so basically this album just represents that major musical transition that a lot of people do, where it's like, you're listening to some stuff and then something hits you. And then you listen to just like, it opens up your entire world of like musical knowledge and all this stuff. And it even went further with, because they were a local band, you know, they were kind of the hometown heroes, in a sense. And so they opened up doors to like local shows that were going on and just like the local scene and all these like awesome bands that, you know, I never would have heard of because of them.
Yeah.
About the band, basically, what I did is I grabbed their bio from their Facebook page because it really sums them up very well, and so I'll read that real quick. It's Alley with an Eye doesn't care about labels like punk rock or emo or hardcore or prog metal or new metal or fucking old school, although they admittedly love certain bands within each of these. They see underground music as a confluence of people with something to say. A band can say whatever they want. Alley with an Eye cares more about friendship and fun and music without rules, social or otherwise, because when you start making up rules about what type of music a band should play or how a band should act, what inevitably follows is insincerity. Alley with an Eye is a band that doesn't need some manager to tell them to act nicely to people or to go batshit when they play. They happen to be nice people. They happen to be full of energy. It's what they know. They're just four great friends who love to make music, rock out, and meet people from all over. So
I dig that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like, it's cool. They, you know, their history was very much like they did it themselves. The drummer, Michael, he was like the manager, from what I remember. And, you know, he did all this stuff himself. He like, you know, contacted, venues and did promo and all this stuff. So, and that kind of like when they broke up, that was like a big part of it of like, you know, we're doing it for art. We're not trying to like become something insanely big. We just love making music. And, it's funny because one of the things that, that I always remembered, which was like the whole, like, you know, they happen to be nice people, happen to be full of energy, is that, they weren't always the like tightest group performing live.
Okay.
So they, you know, sometimes they would have like a couple too many beers, and you could tell because they're like, they'd be playing just a little bit slower than normal. And or a lot slower than normal, depending on how wasted they were. but they just, it was just like a pure energy. Like they were having fun.
Yeah.
And so you always ended up having fun too.
Mm-hmm. Each show has its own little unique magic then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Oh. It's just, you know, it's going to be a good time whether or not, the music is, you know, technically on cue or not, or on point or not. But yeah, so they came about in, they started in 2000. They had a first album, which was Long Story Short, and that came out in around 2001. And so one of their, probably their most remembered song was off of that album, actually, which is called Mixed Emotions.
Hmm.
And it has, like, the clip where they got the name from. It's actually from The Karate Kid. There's, like, this really little, this tiny, like, couple-second clip that goes, like, hey, you got a name? And then this girl goes like, Allie with an I. And then they like kick into the song.
Nice.
So I have no idea like how they decided like, oh yeah, that's a great band name, but that was awesome. And so like I thought about that album too, because that, you know, that was like when that came out, everybody was like, this is so cool. I can't believe they're doing this, you know, coming from a small town. They were all living in Raleigh at the time, so, but you know, they all came from the small town outside of Raleigh, but it, you know, as a record, it's a little bit unbalanced. There's like some of the songs are amazing, some of the songs are kind of okay, and so then they toured behind that for a while, and then they ended up getting picked up by a label, which was Law of Inertia Records.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, they're now called like Reignition Recordings. They also like managed Death by Stereo, Real Big Fish, the AKAs, the Reunion Show.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
my buddy played in the Reunion.
Really?
Show. Yeah,
that's awesome. What do you play?
Crap, my brain just cracked out. Wait, did he play bass? I forget. Shit, I hope he doesn't listen to this one, because he's gonna like. I just read his book too, and I'm just like, oh sorry, yeah? Man.
What did he write a book about?
Just like his life on the road and stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Did the Reunion Show, Edna's Goldfish,
mm-hmm.
some other stuff too. I think he was like, yeah, my brain's gone.
Right on. Yeah. So they got picked up by Law of Inertia in, I think in sometime in 2003. And so I learned it by watching you. The album I picked came out in 2003. And it was like, you know, part of their bio where they're talking about the genres and stuff like that is obviously this is like, you know, right in the infancy through the explosion of like what would be considered pop punk. And so they're always kind of, I don't know, sincere with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they definitely, when they came out with I Learned It By Watching You, like pop punk was definitely like in the big upswing, and but they didn't, you know, in the production, so that it was produced by this dude Brian Paulson. I didn't know him. He did a bunch of like Beck albums, Wilco, Superchunk back in the day in like 95 or something like that.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, he definitely has a good resume. And that one was more like, it was a good album. Like, and that's one of the things I thought as a criteria for your favorite album is, which people have definitely talked about, just that it's not like good songs. It's a good album. Like yeah, you can listen definitely. To it through and through, and it's like cohesive, and it, one thing goes to the other. So, yeah. And I think a key characteristic that was also in a lot of the reviews, when it came out was just like a realness that by that time, a lot of the pop punk, punk rock kind of music that was coming out was starting to be like super overproduced. It was like the crazy, crazy high vocals that, you know, couldn't be reproduced live.
Scott Sellers from Rufio.
What was the band I just thought of? The Starting Line.
Oh man, yeah. I love The Starting Line.
I did the that first album when they, I don't even know if it was their first album. I just remember them doing that J-Lo cover, I'm Real.
Oh, that was on Pop Goes Punk.
Oh, that was on Pop Goes Punk. Okay.
Yeah, that was one of those, what was it, Fearless Records, I think, yeah, was putting those out for a few years.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that like series still going.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they did a bunch of them, like Punk Goes Acoustic, Punk Goes Pop.
Punk Goes 80s.
Punk Goes 80s, yeah.
I've owned most of those for some reason. Yeah.
I know the Punk Goes 80s got already a little...
The metal one's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Punk Goes Metal.
Or it's like, yeah, it's like, but they're in just...
I guess Metal Goes like, Punk would be kind of weird.
But it's pretty good.
Right on. So yeah, but these guys, you know, they definitely it had certainly like exponentially higher production value than their first album, but it was definitely very, very real, you know, the emotion of what Matt, the lead singer, was singing, it really like kind of came across, and it just seemed like, you know, they're not writing a song for a specific reason. They're just like, well, I feel this way, so I'm going to write a song about it, kind of a thing. Just from the opening riff on the first song for future reference, it's just like a great lead into the album. I want to say they always kicked off their sets with that song, because it's just a great, great opening song. And yeah, I mean, that really is, you know, it just kicked everything off for me musically. This is right around the time I was getting into a band, my first band, which was, we billed ourselves as melodic punk.
All right.
Whatever the hell that means.
It can mean a lot of things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. we kind of ran the gamut. It was interesting. Like our album, it was, we had some kind of like screamy Thursday stuff, and then we had more like Alley with an Eye ish, you know, the kind of pop punk rock kind of thing, and then some stuff that was like, you know, more rock or things like that. So that was an interesting time.
So it wasn't that huge of a transition then from the stuff you were listening to before or to this album, or would you consider it a huge transition?
It was a fairly decent transition. I mean, so what was I listening to before them? I mean, this is, let's see. I'm gonna use the C word. There was definitely some Creed in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, with arms wide open.
Yeah, man. I will say, I will defend the first album, My Own Prison. I like that. I haven't listened to it in like, I don't know, probably 20 years or something, but...
20 years?
Yeah.
I remember one song being played a lot when I was down in Florida once, because, you know...
Yeah, Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Creed, dude.
Yeah, that was my first... concert that I went to by myself.
Wow, you've seen Creed live?
Yeah, it was in order, Guano Apes.
Not familiar with them.
Yeah, nobody was.
I know
nobody
Guano is. Bats. Wait, was it? What kind of band was Guano Apes? No.
They're definitely harder. I don't
female vocalist.
Yeah.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. You know that? A friend gave me a CD, and he's like, dude, this is Bang. And I guess, why was I thinking Guano Bats? Probably because Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Guano.
Exactly. So he gave me the CD, and I listened to it nonstop, and then I lost it.
Yeah.
Dude, they are great. They opened for Creed?
I feel like I had a tape, like a cassette of the Guano Apes. But Guano Apes, Seven Dust.
Wow.
And Creed. And that was, that was my first concert that, and I was supposed to go with my friend Brian, and, last minute, his mom, put the kibosh on it, said, no, can't go.
Creed is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of shit that's going to be going down there. I think I did see a woman flash the, Old Scotty
Stamp. You probably did something with that lady afterwards.
Oh, totally.
As we've learned that she was from the past.
She was a dream. She was, I'd probably say, in her mid-40s.
Okay.
You know, only about 30 to 40 pounds overweight. So it was, you know, that was also the first time I fell in love.
So. At a Creed show.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
What is Scott Stapp doing right now? What do you think?
Drinking.
I was going to say praying, but all right.
He's somewhere drinking whiskey, just being sad about things.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, though, when you sent me the link to listen to this album, of course, on like you said, on MySpace, it was out of order, so I just had it playing in the background. I instantly felt like 10 years younger.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, I can get down with this.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah. It definitely, I feel like it, if you grew up around that time, it definitely immediately puts you in a certain place. Like, same thing happened when I listened to, when Matt was talking about, Clarity on the other podcast. That was another one where it's like, yep, I remember that time.
Oh yeah.
Well,
see, that's another thing about the picking a favorite. It's like that emotional cue.
Just
like,
immediate.
Like, tease it in. Like, oh, I remember I was doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember who else. I mean, it was probably, see, I don't really know what else was out in like 99, 2000, around mm-hmm. that time.
That was probably like bands, like, what was I listening to around there? Like maybe, crap, Audio Karate.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like a bunch of Kung Fu Records stuff. Yeah, definitely. Like one thing that opened the floodgates, like I was always listening to stuff like that, but Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was just like,
oh yeah,
that soundtrack was a gateway to like, here's absolutely. A bunch of bands you've never heard of,
yeah,
unless,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
Totally. Totally. But yeah, so I mean, you know, and then basically kind of in that nebulous through Alley with an Eye and through those bands and through those local shows, I mean, you know, some of the bands, I don't even know if you know some of these. One of the bigger names is Darkest Hour. I don't know if you listen to metal, but
they're occasionally. I just don't know too many bands.
They're an awesome DC metal band that, metalcore, I guess.
It's too many genres.
Yeah, it's too many. It's metal. And they played with Alley with an Eye at this show called Friction Fest, which was in this tiny little place called... Somewhere Else Tavern, I believe, in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it was insane. Like basically, everything just kind of went into chaos and anarchy, and when Darkest Hour was playing, like the PAs were cut off because it was these kids. They the door guy, I think, was also the owner, and he was this old fat white dude. With a beard, like a white beard, and pretty sure wearing overalls, and these kids were like going crazy, and there was a exposed air AC duct,
uh-huh.
So they like jump up and they're trying to yank down the AC duct.
Good stuff, kids.
Yeah, yeah, and so he goes up and he grabs one of them by the scruff of the neck and is like leading him to the door to kick him out, and the other ones just kind of. Like, they jumped him, not in the sense that they're, like, beating him up, but they jumped him in the sense that, like, hey, you're part of the pit now.
Oh.
And from there on, just, like, chaos erupted. They, like, cut the PAs, Darkest Hour just kept playing because they're like, we don't give a fuck. And then there was like another point where all my friends were just like, yeah, we should probably leave now.
Yeah.
So, but I, yeah.
I can't picture them playing at like a metal show. That
it was, yeah, well, Friction Fest was, it was cool because it was a very, you know, it was an all day thing. They had bands like Alley with the Nine, other like kind of punk or pop punk bands. They had some kind of more alternative indie type bands. These guys, have you heard of Annuals?
Sounds familiar. But
yeah, they're another North Carolina band. They played what was the music fest down in Coney Island?
Siren Festival.
Siren Fest. Yeah, they played that a couple of years ago. And anyway, so they had a band before called Sedona, and they played at that show too. So it was cool because it was like a weird mix of bands, culminating with this metal band. And, yeah, that was crazy. But again, you know, all those kinds of experiences I always kind of associate with that band, and all of my friends, we were all, pretty hardcore Alley with an Eye fans. Yeah, I even, it's funny, the podcast that you did where, who was it? Pete the Retailer was talking about the Chipmunk Punk album.
Yeah.
So I saw that album in, I think it was like a Goodwill or something. And I bought it because the dudes in Alley with an Eye used to be in a band before Alley with an Eye that was called the Chipmunks. So I bought that album because of that. Cause I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. And so even that, like, is, you know, I associate with Alley with an Eye. And it's also, I think I kind of put it in separate, you know, in the your favorite album category, because I haven't really found, it's very familiar. Like when you listen to it, you're like, oh, I immediately get this sound. I know it, but a band that's exactly like them is hard to pin down. I heard, one of the reviews I read was like, mentioned early Get Up Kids, maybe the Movie Life.
I could see it, like maybe around It's Go Time.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's tough because they're for as familiar, familiar and as kind of straightforward as their sound is, they were very unique and, you know, just tough to pin down. It's like, you'll listen to it and you'll be like, oh yeah, I totally get this. But if you try to like pigeonhole them or, you know, match them up exactly one for one with a band, it's really tough to do. And I think some of those, like the more important albums that pop up in our lives are like that, where you can't really, like, it's super meaningful, but you can't really like, oh, well, it was exactly like this album. That's yeah, why yeah. I like it or something like that. So, yeah,
because it tends to, like we said, it goes beyond what's actually on the disc, the tape, the whatever, you know, it's so much more than that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's it totally, I remember going to shows of theirs and then running home right afterwards and just like pulling out my 4-track tape recorder, because that's what I was rocking for a while, and just trying to, like, you know, lay down my own, like, quote unquote Alley with an Eye song, and you know, it just it sparked so much as far as ideas musically and writing songs and things like that. So one of the greatest compliments I would say about my singing is I've been told that I sound like Matt when I sing. So I was like, well, that's, I'll take that any day of the week.
That's awesome. You're going to have to send me a link to some stuff. That way we can post that. Just like link it up.
Yeah, definitely. Up. Definitely.
So now, do you still write stuff? Like, do you ever like do like casual little things where you catch yourself and you're like, oh, this is, I'm kind of like emulating that again, or have you moved past that?
Yeah, I've kind of moved past that. I I feel like I always, I tend towards that kind of sound, and I think that in my music there's a little bit of a bed of that kind of stuff in there. But I think I have kind of moved past. It's tough because it's one of those things where I think I would have to, I mean, I did end up going deeper into that, you know, some of the bands that like influenced them.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I never really like got the, that style down, I guess, or I don't know. It's just,
you know, you find your own style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's the way to go about it.
Yeah. Did you listen to, like, when you were growing up, was there, like, a good scene? And
no, I got into shows when I was, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, I was always just so busy mm-hmm. with, like, school or just, like, growing up in the, which is sad when you figure, I grew up in the Lower East Side. There's so many cool places I could have gone for shows. Lower East Side? And I never went.
Yeah.
Because the world I grew up in was completely different. Like, right. I was in the projects. It was all just like, there was no one listening to punk music or anything yeah. like that I could be like, hey, I'm going to go check this out, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So, like, my first shows were, let's say, I think my first concert was Weezer and the Get Up Kids.
Nice.
And then my first, like, small show was at the Knitting Factory, and that was, who was it? It was Ozma, Slow Reader, which is the guys from The Impossibles.
Okay.
And, oh, man, I got to know this. What was the other band? I can't remember. Oh, it's, like,
Or Greyhound?
No. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You know, I'm pretty sure Erica, of course...
At least I think it was Earl Greyhound.
...told me about that band.
I know I definitely saw them. I just can't remember yeah. if it was that show or not.
That's pretty good. That's much better than my first concert.
It's also the day I quit smoking.
Oh, really? All yes. right.
Because I kept trying to light a cigarette and I kept dropping them. And then after the show, I lit a cigarette, and it stayed lit, and I pointed at all my friends, and I'm like, hey, guys, look. And then it fell out of my hands. I was like, all right, I'm quitting. It's done.
There was this... And did it stick?
That's... Yeah, I mean, occasionally I could have one, but I never had, like, a craving anymore, so right. it was great. It was just like, nice. I could have one easily. Like, you know, if you get really drunk, someone's like, here, and you're like, sure, right, whatever.
Yeah. But why were they falling out?
I have no idea. I just couldn't hold on to a cigarette. It was bad.
It's the universe.
Yeah, say hey,
I
mean, man.
Some would say it's good.
Yeah. It's like, hey, come back. Chill. Yeah,
it's
chill.
Time. Yeah. It's time.
You're 18. What are you doing? Find something better to do with your time. Yeah. Save your money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was, it was definitely around, I was like, I guess 18 or 19, something like that.
You started going to Creed shows.
Yeah. I think the Creed shows was earlier, not shows. Maybe for anybody listening, it was one show.
But Creed, I will defend show is like a million shows.
It really it's is. Just, it's a yeah.
You got the Holy Ghost in you.
I did. He actually did that when he played with Arms Wide Open, or maybe it's Can You Take Me Higher? Yeah, that's the name of the song. When he played Higher, he actually did the whole, like, you know, Jesus thing, and he actually raised up, just like in the video.
God.
It was incredible.
Wow. Oh, man. I regret never seeing Vanilla Ice in concert.
Really?
Yeah. In terms of what I was listening to when I was younger.
Right,
dude.
Right. Oh, no, if we go back that, I always trump everyone for my very first show that I ever went to. You will never be able to guess it, but I will give a hint, which is that I was born in Germany and I moved when I was 8.
Rammstein.
No. No, worse.
Shit. Crap,
what do all Germans love?
Oh, my God, you went to a David Hasselhoff concert?
Oh, yes.
Shit, man.
Yeah, this is at the height of Knight Rider.
Oh, my God.
I was probably like, I must have been like 5 or 6 years old, I think.
Wow.
And my mom took me, and it was the greatest experience of my life.
That's intense, man.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted to, that made me want to be a musician.
Just a musician, yeah. Who drives a car that talks.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I want to say even at the show, they did this like little montage over the screen or something where he talked to Kid or something. I don't remember. But yeah, so that was my...
You've seen Creed and David Hasselhoff. And
David Hasselhoff. So I'm batting 1,000. I don't know if that's the correct like terminology.
No, that's great. Yeah. I've got nothing like that. I've got no show where someone would go, wait, really? You saw that?
Yeah. And Yanni.
I can't even talk to you right now.
The podcast is over.
Dude.
It's But the Yanni thing, that was like my parents, you know, they were like, we got tickets to Yanni. Let's go. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out.
All right. It was good. That's just
nuts. Hair whipping about as he's like playing 5 keyboards. It's an experience.
Yanni is a revelation.
Mustache glistening. He is the Greek dream.
Oh, God. Oh, where did this conversation go?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So those were some shows that I went to. And all those were informed by Ali with an Eye. No, I, and basically, there were all these really cool bands that were local bands that they played with that I loved. And, one band, they're a Jersey band, Paulson.
Dude, Paulson's great. Nightcall?
Yeah.
That's such a cool song. I used to, like, listen to it while playing video games because it had that video game feel.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And the drummer did that thing where he had like, I don't know what it's called, but it's, like, a thin snare drum, and he would play 2 snare drums at the same time.
Hmm.
So there's, like, some of the stuff on that album, Variations, I
think. Yeah.
It sounds like there's like a drum machine that he's playing to, but he's actually doing it all live.
Oh, wow.
And he would like do this thing where he would kind of play that, like, I guess a hi-hat snare or something like that, with one hand, and he would play the regular snare with the other hand and kind of hit the hi-hat cymbal in the meantime. It was awesome. But yeah, I found out about them because they played a show with Ali with an Eye, and they're friends with those dudes. They played a couple shows. They might have toured together or something.
Hmm. So this band has been like a gateway in more ways than one in terms of like just expanding your.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely, you know, themselves, the shows that they went to, but then also the places where they played. You know, I've ended up seeing so many other awesome bands at the places they played. You know, the bands that they played with and just on and on. I mean, the drummer Michael, he's like, I'll still find out like awesome music because he'll post it on Facebook and stuff like that. So, like one of the bigger ones that I discovered through him was, the Menzingers.
Yeah. They're really good.
Yeah. Love the Menzingers. They got a new album coming out, and I'm excited to hear that. That's another band that Erica doesn't seem to like, and I don't understand that. But
Once again, for listeners, Erica is my roommate. Also, how me and Pat know each other.
Yes,
that's what she does.
She is the connector, the uniter.
She brings people together,
and she knows all about music.
That is true. That is true. And if she doesn't know, she's willing to give a listen.
Yeah.
Like every time I check something out, I'll be downstairs in my room like, hey, Erica, I'm going to email you this. Take a listen. She's like, that's great. Or it's not my style. Yeah. She'll like listen to the whole thing.
Definitely.
And then shoot out comparison. She's like, does this remind you of this? I'm like, yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I like that. That's why we get along so well.
Yeah, I can, for me, it's like, you know that band, they had that song. It was kind of like, oh yeah, you mean this band playing this song in that came out in this year by Off of the Slide? Yeah, that's exactly it. How did you know that?
Oh, I love her. I love her.
But yeah, so that's and it really, The Scaries was another band that was really, really good out of Chapel Hill, and they did kind of the same stuff. it was awesome. They're they did the whole, they pulled like a Ramones thing where it was like what are the guys' name, like Mike Scarry and Bill Scarry.
Nice.
And like Bill, he was a guitar player, and they would play these like almost like metal riffs on the background. He was just this like dirty dude. He had these like Buddy Holly glasses that were just completely taped up in the back and everything. And but they would rip it. Those guys were really good too. Yeah, just a bunch of really good bands, and they were, you know, they were just really good dudes. So they, you know, when we were starting out and we were recording stuff, I would, you know, send stuff to Michael and to Matt. We actually, our very first album that we recorded, well, I guess technically it's our second album, but it was our first album that we recorded in an actual studio, not my friend's mom's.
Yeah.
But we recorded in, and Michael, the drummer, he let us crash at his apartment. Because we did like 2 days in the studio, so so yeah, they were very you know, helpful and gave advice and very supportive of everyone in the local scene.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's like a family thing.
Yeah, it really is. So yeah, but also because they're I'm good friends with like their sister. So it almost literally is like a family.
It's like everybody knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody.
So I gotta ask you, standout track.
Standout track. Oh, so
what are we gonna use to sell people on this?
Yeah. The one of the key tracks I would say is Last Parade. Another one would be, for me, is Set in Stone, just because they have a...
They just broke you, man.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm going through like lyrics in my head. It's actually, it might not be Set in Stone. That's where I'm... There was one, Don't Look Down on Me, I think is the name of the song. Anyways, it was I went like, they had a guest vocal from the dude from the Scaries, and so I remember like singing along with the harmonies. But yeah, I would say Last Parade is probably the big one. Up North is a really, really good track, and Future Reference is just because it's such a good like lead in mm-hmm. to everything. Like to the album, to the shows, that's a good one to just kind of like lead into the band as well. But yeah, if I had to pick one, it would be Last Parade. Was there anyone that you would remember name wise?
No, not by title, especially, and since it was in the wrong order, I couldn't even say like the third song. Yeah, so
it's funny. I've had that issue for a long time where I don't know names of songs because I'll just like listen to the album and just let it run. I'm always like, like the third song or whatever, and then somebody like says the name of it and I'm like, oh, that's the name of the song, I didn't even know that. So it's like I could sing every single line of the song. I listened to it like, I don't know, 100 times, but I wouldn't know the name of the track.
Gets confusing when some albums, like, the songs kind of, like, loop into each other and you're like, man, that song that's really fast, and it turns out it's like the middle of And then going into like the beginning of the next song because it just like flows so well.
Yeah,
it's like, damn it.
Yeah, I did that a lot.
I had that recently with the new Law Dispute record. Have you heard them?
Erica, of course, told me to check them out. It was a really good record.
Been listening to that a lot lately.
Yeah,
just like constant, like keeps good walking music. And doing other stuff. Music,
I still haven't. Had my fill of the new Against Me album. It's just so tight, and I can just listen. It's funny, it's one of those things where I'll think of a song or like a line pops in my head or somebody will mention it, and I'll just like, it'll make me want to listen to that album.
Nice.
It's really good.
Word, word. Well, sir, you are thoroughly prepared. I like this. Makes my job easier.
Take note, future podcast people.
Yeah, man. come with some stuff written down and have it nicely broken down so you can pace it well. And,
yeah, man.
And go to Creed shows.
Dude, we didn't even get to all my... I was going to interview you and just flip the tables.
Oh, shit.
Actually, I only had one other question, which was where did the guitar jingle from the intro come from?
Oh, that's by the band The Great Big Pile of Leaves.
Uh-huh.
The drummer was on the second episode.
Uh-huh.
And the song is called Mysteries of the Brain.
Right on.
It's from their first EP. I believe it's the first EP called Fiery Works. If not, it's the second EP, which is called Fiery Works 2. But
cool.
Anytime I've had like a project working on and I'd always need just the music bed to put in, I just put that in always
yeah.
as a placeholder. So then it was like, yeah, I'm going to go with it. And so I was on tour with them a couple weeks ago. I was sitting with the vocalist like, hey, Pete, just so you know, I'm using that for my podcast. Is that cool? And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Do whatever you want, man. It's like, cool. Because it just has a good, I like the way it sounds. Yeah,
it's good lead-in. Good lead-in.
So I try to use it for everything. I mean, it's mellow. It's not like super in your face, but that's what I like about it.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wondering why no one's asked that yet. Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The other question was when do you think you're gonna give the big reveal at the end?
I was thinking maybe 52, the year mark.
Yeah,
because the 100th episode, 2 years. That's a little too far, you know.
Yeah, I probably won't even be alive then.
Exactly. I'm surprised I'm still alive now. So you know. Episode 52, I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
And just put it all on the table. I already know what I've thought about it many times over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I have to say about it, so I'm ready to go. I could record it now and just like, leave it somewhere in case I don't make it to that year.
Yeah.
Just be like, here, put
that's cool. Yeah, it's like George R. R. Martin having to tell HBO the ending of Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
Same thing. Just you got it and it's in a vault somewhere.
Gotta be prepared. Otherwise, it's all done.
If you don't hear from me in 24 hours, you release this podcast.
Exactly. I'm dead, guys. Sorry. I should actually start the recording of that. If you're listening to this now, I'm dead. Because I did not go in and edit this part out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I tried. I really tried. But, dude, yeah, seriously, thanks for being on the
show. Absolutely. Glad to do it.
Some interesting stuff. I did enjoy the album. I'll be listening to it again. I'm going to hit up some of my friends from North Carolina, see if they know these guys.
Yeah.
Because they listen to some good music, too. So what song did we say we're going to go with here?
Last Parade? Last Parade, yeah. All right. Which is... a little bit of an Easter egg with the band that I play in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to have to explain that, sir.
My band's called Last Parade.
Duh. I'm an idiot. I thought by Easter egg, I'm thinking like a hidden track or something. So I'm like, let's go.
I pulled a Taking Back Sunday, so.
Nice, nice.
If anyone doesn't know, Taking Back Sunday got their name from a band that they were friends with. That's the song of a band that they're friends with or something.
It all comes together. Comes together. Well, once again, I'd like to thank Pat for being on the show. We're going to leave you with Last Parade by Allie with an I from the album I Learned It From Watching You, or I Learned It By Watching You.
I Learned It By Watching You.
By Watching You. Thanks again for stopping by your favorite album. Have a good one. Bye. Pat, you just nodded. You didn't even say goodbye to these people.
Oh, I'm supposed to say goodbye.
I mean, that's what people do. You're rude.
You're the director, man. I'm just giving you...
Too late. Too late.
Bye.
locked away.